Morning. Today's Daven Pesachim Pei Zayin. We are starting the new parak this morning. We're in the 8th parak of the Masechta. 10 parakim in total. 8th parak is still dedicated to the topic of Karban Pesach, as we already pointed out. Parakims 5 through 9 deal with Karban Pesach. The 9th parak, which we're going to get to shortly. This parak is short, 6 top, about 6 topim. So the 9th parak deals with Pesach Sheni. So this is going to be the final parak that deals with the Pesach Rishon. And as we pointed out, in order to participate in Karban Pesach, so you need registration. So that means to say that somebody has to register you over Karban Pesach, or you're the balabas. And that means to say that you are going to be the one registering others over your Karban Pesach. So the actual format of registration, so it's never perfectly clear in the Gemara. Gemara describes how you can register, you can unregister. But the Gemara does not describe what kind of form we're talking about. From Rashi, you'll forgive me, I forget where, but from Rashi you get the impression that registration comes in the form of money, meaning you simply put some sort of deposit down, and that will be your form of registration. Okay, which seems to be pretty reasonable. Anyway, so that is our topic of discussion. We're going to be talking this morning about registering, and we're going to be talking about who is connected to whom? Mishnah starts off. Aisha b'zmanchi bebeis bala. So the woman, when she's in the house of her husband, shachar alaha bala v'shachar alaha avia. So let's say now two people are shachting Karban Pesach for her. So you have two people who are looking out for her. You have her father and you have her husband. So, and both of them shachting Karban Pesach on her behalf. So who is the Karban Pesach does she eat? So tochal mishal bala. So she goes to her husband's Karban Pesach. It is assumed that she will want to participate in her husband's Karban Pesach, not her father's Karban Pesach. In a moment, the Gemara is going to give us a little more nuance on that halacha. Well, we don't have to wait till the Gemara. The Mishnah gives us more nuance on that halacha. Next point. Halacha rego risha lasos beveis avia. Let's say it's the first yantif and she goes back to her father for the first yantif. And Rashi says that was a minug. Rashi writes over here, second Rashi in the Amud, regal arishon, kein derech hanesuos. When a woman is married for that first year, lalecha lebeis avia, and she goes to her father's house, regular rishon she'achar nisuin. Okay, so that was a minhag. It was a general accepted custom that they go to their parents' house for the first yontif. I know in some households it goes well beyond the first yontif. But anyway, so for the first yontif she goes to her father's house. So now shachala aviyah v'shachala bala tocha b'makom she rotsa. So now if both of them are shechting Karban Pesach for her, and obviously it can get a little bit uncomfortable, a little bit awkward. Where now she's in her father's house. It's the first year of marriage. Her father shechted for her. Her husband shechted for her. So she's gonna have to make a decision. But she can decide. The point of the Mishnah is that a decision can be made, and she can go whichever one she wants. Yasam sheshechtu olav apotroposim yocha b'makom shehi rotsa. So let's say you have an orphan, and right now his estate is being managed, and it's managed by two different people, and each of the custodians is shechting Karban Pesach. And now they have him, the Yasam, in mind. So who does the Yasam go to? So again, so he has a choice in terms of who he can go to. Evish al shnei shutim. Let's say you have an evikanani owned by two partners. So lo yochal mishal shnehem. So he can't eat from either one. Now we need a little more context over here. Evikanani, of course, as opposed to an evid ivri, is on one hand not Jewish, but not Jewish, right? Is in this tweener state of Yiddishkeit. But when, as it relates to Karban Pesach, so the Eved Kenani eats Karban Pesach, right? The pasuk in the Torah that your Eved Kenani is going to participate in your Karban Pesach. So this Eved Kenani is owned by two different people. Obviously, each one of them have shares in this Eved Kenani. And so now he cannot side by either one of them. Rashi writes over here, lo yochel mishal shneihem, lo mipischo shezev, velo mishal zev, afilu, hisnoach ra pischo, minasam rishos lechelek ha'acher, limanos al zev. So Rashi says, because if he goes to one of them, so he's not given permission by the other owner. The ein lo takana elim ken ratzu shneihem, sheyimne ima echad. And only with bilateral agreement of the two owners, then and only then can he participate in one of the Karban Pesachs. It's a little bit difficult to understand why it should be that one of the owners is going to be makpin. Meaning, look, on a regular weekday, on any day of the year. So obviously they're responsible to feed him. So and now for the Karban Pesach, we're assuming that one of them is going to be makpid if the other one allows them to participate in his Korban Pesach. So it's a little bit difficult to understand what exactly the hakpada is, but okay. The Mishnah assumes that there will be hakpada, and therefore, unless there's bilateral agreement amongst the two partners, so our Eved Kenani will not be able to participate in Korban Pesach. Next point of the Mishnah. Eved shel shnei shutfim. I know we just did that. Mi shechetzi eved vechetzi ben chorin lo yochel misho rabba. Somebody who is chetzi eved chetzi ben chorin. A case that comes up throughout Mishnayos, where he was owned by two partners and one of the partners frees him. And so now, this person is half a free man, half a slave. The part that's the ownership still retained by the second owner. So that is now obviously, creates 50% avdus, but at the same time, however, the other half is freed. And so, so under those circumstances, so lo yochel mishal rabbu. He's not allowed to eat from his Rebbe's Korban Pesach, from his master's Korban Pesach. Rashi writes over here, the mistam aloha yadas rabbu liimanos chela kacherus al pischo. Because for this person is split into two, legally. And ostensibly, the owner did not invite his tzad cherus to his Korban Pesach. Now, obviously, if the owner did invite his tzad cherus, so I would imagine that it would be fine under those circumstances, but we assume that invitation is not coming mistama, it's not coming meimela. Okay, so a number of circumstances that are brought up in this Mishnah regarding the default participation in the Korban Pesach, where other people shaken Korban Pesach on you, and where do you stand on the default line? The Gemara starts off the discussion. The Gemara begins, Shema Mina Yesh Bera. So ostensibly, the Gemara points out over here, we can now weigh in on the issue of Bera. The issue of Bera, retroactive determination, where a decision is made now, and you could see that decision already historically. And Huvra Hadavar Lamafre, not only are we making the decision now, but we're going back retroactive. So consider, at the time of the shechting of the Korban Pesach, so we're going back to our first case of the Mishnah. You have a woman who her father shechted for her, her husband shechted for her. It's the first yontif. Who does she turn to? Whichever one she wants. But at the time of the shechita, we didn't know. And she's only making a decision later. And isn't it now clear and evident in the Mishnah that the decision she makes later is going to retroactively go back to the time of the shechita? And now we can weigh in on the issue of Brera. And for those of you who know the Gemara, who've been through the Gemara, so you know Brera comes up throughout Shas. It's a major topic and it's a major debate. And so generally speaking, the Gemara's attitude is that, we would love to resolve the debate, but generally speaking, it's an unresolved debate. And isn't our Mishnah weighing in on the topic? So the Gemara says, no, my road saw b'shashchita. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not asking what her opinion was after the shchita. The Mishnah's understanding is that we know what she wanted at the time of the shchita. That's the correct way to understand the Mishnah. Therefore, it doesn't at all get into the question of Brera. And so the Gemara says, so good. So you can leave our Mishnah out of the discussion of Brera. Or Minu. Okay, we left Brera. Okay, that was it. That was a quick Q&A regarding Brera. And now we're going to be quoting a Brisa. The Brisa seems to be going against our Mishnah. Reminu. Isha regal arishon achals mishal aviyah mikan ve'elach rotsa achals mishal aviyah rotsa mishal bala. So here in this Brisa, so you get a very different picture of a woman and where does she want to side with. So for the first yontif, says the Brisa, so you assume that she wants to eat with her father, right? Obviously, she just got married and we're talking beyond kedusha, meaning we're obviously talking at the point of nisuin, but still it's a new husband and she feels comfortable with her parents. So for the first yontiv, so she's participating in Korban Pesach with her father, even though both her father and her husband shechted Korban Pesach for her. And then from that point going forward, so then she has a choice. So rotsa ochels mishal avia, rotsa mishal baala. Then she has a choice. Now, obviously, that's not like our Mishnah at all. Our Mishnah says that for the first Yantav, so there she has the choice, and from that point going forward, she's going to be eating by her husband. The Gemara gives an extraordinarily intuitive answer. Kam b'redufa leilech, kam b'shena redufa. So the Gemara says, well, it really depends on the nature of her relationship with her new husband. And is she redufa leilech or is she not redufa leilech? Rashi describes the Gemara over here to be like as follows. As far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is talking about Eina Redufa. Meaning, Rashi says, Eina Redufa Leilech Tamil Lebeis Aviyah. Debeis Ba'ala Chavev Allah. She's not running back to her father's house. She really likes it with her husband. Now, you would hope every time a newlywed are experiencing life together. So she's really excited with her husband, but yesh v'yesh. Right? Fortunately, unfortunately, it's just how life works. So sometimes, so she is extraordinarily happy with her husband, and after she gets married, she doesn't go back home. So that is our Mishnah. It's ein redufa leilech. So Hilchach, so Rashi writes over here, I'm reading the Rashi, Debra Mascha Masnisin, Bishena Redufa. So Rashi writes two lines down, Hilchach Kosha Regalim Vade Sheikha Basre. So as far as all the other Yantuf is concerned, so from that point going forward, so she's with her husband, she's happy with her husband. The Rego Rishon Safek, and for that first Yantuf, we don't know. Oh, so for that very first Yantuf, she doesn't want to offend her father, right? She's sensitive to her father. Father just, you know, he lost a daughter. I know at the Shever Brachos, they say that, you know, I didn't lose a daughter, I gained a son. Okay, that's all really nice and well. Anyway, the father lost his daughter. So for the first Yantuf, she's sensitive to the father, but from that point going forward, she's quite content, she's quite happy going to her husband. However, that's the Mishnah. And the Bryce, on the other hand, is Redufa, where she keeps running back to her father. Okay, definitely does not speak well about the marriage. Okay, I don't want to predict and prognosticate about the marriage, but obviously, she is still longing for her parents' home. So therefore, Hilchach Rego Rishon, Vaday Basar Aviyah Mekan Ve'elech Safek. And that's why the Braisa describes for the first Yontif, so for sure she's eating her father's Karban Pesach, and from that point going forward, so we don't know. Okay. Back to the Gemara. That is a distinction to be made between the Mishnah and the Braisa. And Dichsiv, and the Gemara now is going to quote Psukim here from Shir Shirim, describing a relationship where the new wife really likes her husband. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, "Asa yitzbi enav kamotzei shalom." I was like in his eyes, motzei shalom. I found peace and tranquility in my new life. My husband really likes me. I really like my husband. V'amar Rav Yochanan kekal shenimtzei shlema beveis chameha uredufa leilech lagish shivcha beveis avia. New wife who has found acceptance in her in-laws. And she runs home to her parents to say, "My in-laws really like me. I'm really accepted in my new home." Okay, good. So, good. The girsa of the Gemara is, we have the Gemara kiddichsiv. The other girsa is ksiv. It seems to be obviously it's a related point, but it's not necessarily, piling on what we just got done saying. So let's read it like ksiv. Ksiv ayaba yamu num Hashem. So tikri'i ishiva lo tikri'i li od ba'ali. This idea of relationships, where you have a good relationship and you have a great relationship. So this pasuk in Hosea is describing a great relationship. So al tikri tikri ishiva lo tikri li od baali, right? Ishi versus baali. Ishi is talking about where mamish, they're one unit. Baali is my husband, and Amar Rav Yochanan kekala beveis chameh velo kekala beveis avia. Right? It's like the kala who really enjoys spending time at her in-law's house, meaning she really feels now to be part and parcel to have been accepted in the world of her husband, her husband's family, and not the wife who keeps going back to her family and describes her husband as just simply Ba'ali. All right, it's my husband, but I really enjoy being in my own parents' house. Good, so we have levels of relationship described in the Pasuk in Hosea. Now stay tuned, because most of our daf today is going to be Agadata, and most of our daf today is going to be focused on the first two psukim in Hosea. And this little entrance over here that the Gemara just gave us into a pasuk in the second parak of Hosea is really going to be the Gemara's entry point. And we're going to come back to that in just a moment. But we quote a pasuk from Shir HaShirim in the eighth parak, so we're going to go back to Shir HaShirim. Achos lana ketana v'shadai mein la. A pasuk in Shir HaShirim describes that we have a young sister and she's not developed yet. She doesn't have breasts. And I'm Rav Yochanan Ze'elam. And Rav Yochanan says that this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, remember Shir HaShirim, not to be understood literally, but to be understood as a mashal, as a metaphor. And even though the text of the Pesukim in Shir HaShirim describe relationship between a man and woman, but the subtext, the context, is all talking about the relationships that the Jewish people have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in this pasuk over here describing the undeveloped sister, I'm Rav Yochanan Zu Elam, Rav Yochanan says that's a reference to Elam. Now Elam, generally speaking, is Paras, it's Persia. In Elam, so what they were able to do was learn, but now they were not able to teach. And the idea behind nursing and teaching, the metaphor is pretty self-evident. And the idea is that when you're able to nurse, in other words, when you're developed and you're able to nurse, so you're able to provide, you're able to give to others. So the same thing is true regarding Torah. Some have the ability to learn Torah, some have the ability to give it to others, to teach others. And Rav Yochanan over here is being critical of Elam. Now, Elam over here, Rashi says, we're not talking about the entire Jewish population in Elam, although we could be, but Rashi says, actually, we're talking about somebody specific. And Rashi named names over here. Rashi says it's a reference to Daniel. So Rashi quotes the pasuk in Daniel in the 8th perek. I'm reading the Rashi, Dibra Maslo Zu Elam. Rashi writes, V'ani b'shushan asher be'elam ha'medina. So he writes that he was in Shushan, right? We are less than 2 weeks away, so it's a nice time to reference it. Asher be'elam ha'medina v'zacha lomo v'lo v'ravetz Torah b'Yisrael. Now, as far as Daniel's concerned, so he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, but he didn't give it over. He didn't teach it. So that is the reference in the pasuk in Shir Shirim according to Rav Yochanan. Now, what's the contrast? So the contrast to that, says Rashi, is Bavel. And specifically, not just Bavel, but Ezra. Rashi continues. Aval Bavel gidla Ezra asofa dichsiv, heichin levavo lidrosh es toros Hashem, velasos aluma b'Yisrael chok u'mishpat. So you see that Ezra had the ability not only to learn, but to teach as well. So it's a contrast between Elam and that of Bavel. Okay. Later this morning, we're going to come back to Gullus Bavel. The Gemara is going to speak in it's really interesting Gemara coming up, regarding the significance of Gullus Bavel. Okay, we're going to come back to that a little bit later on. We are back in the Gemara. So once again, as long as we're here in the 8th parak of Shir Shirim, so the Gemara now is going to continue. So I'm a wall, v'shadai kemigdalos. Okay, and the woman's body parts are like towers. I'm a Rav Yochanan, and Icham Azu Torah. So the wall is a reference to Torah, v'shadai kemigdalos el tamid chachamim. And then the shadayim are considered like the tamid chachamim. Again, the idea that they can nourish others. Rava Amar Nichamazu Knesset Yisrael. Another interpretation, Rava says that the Chama is a reference to the Jewish people of Shadai Kemigdalos Elobate Knesios Ubate Midrashos. And what's providing nourishment? So what's providing nourishment are Shulzen Beis Medrash. Amrav Zutra Bartovia, Amrav Maidichziv. The Pasuk in Tehillim describes the following: Asher Banenu Kinetim Migudalim Binu Urehem Binosenu Kizavios Mechotavos Tavnis Echal. So the Pasuk in Tehillim over here giving the description of the young men and the young women, Asher Beninu Kinitiim, and now this is a praise, this is a shevach to the young Jewish boys and young Jewish girls. And I don't mean boys and girls, I mean, you know, they're older already, but they're young, right? Young men, young women. And the way the Gemara understands the Shvach is as follows. As far as the sons are concerned, Ela Bachur Yisrael, Shalotam Tam Chet. So as far as the young men are concerned, so despite the fact, that they have strong desires, but nevertheless, so they don't act in inappropriate manners. They don't conduct themselves in sexually illicit behavior. And benosenu kizavios ela besulos Yisrael sheogdos pischem labalein. And as far as the young women are concerned, so they save themselves for their husbands. Rashi understands this in one of two ways. So Rashi understands one. Dibra maskul sheogdos. Rashi writes sosos pischem ad shemizdakikos labalein ve'ina nivalos acherim. So number one, they literally save themselves for their husbands. In other words, they remain pure and pristine until they get married. And then they give themselves over to their husbands. Lashon Acher, Rashi says another pshat, Shemigidus Bishem shall need to labalem lifrosh man vafapi shetava sam rabba, even while they're married. So, and they have desire for their husband. Nevertheless, when they're bishas nida, so, they refrain. So, that is a shvach to the young Jewish women. V'chino Omer, pasuk describing what we're describing over here is the term used in that pasuk in Tehillim of zavios, right? Zavios means that they made sure to keep themselves protected and pristine. Umale kimizrak kizavios mizbeach. So the pasuk in Zechariah describing the zavios mizbeach, again things that are protected and preserved. Ibaisema mehacham izavena melaim afikim izan elzan. Or the Gemara quotes another pasuk in Tehillim describing how the things that which are protected and pristine. Mechot vos tavnis hechal, elav elam alalam hakasov ki ilu nivna hechal b'yameim. And now going back to the pasuk in Tehillim, giving a description for these young men and young women who conduct themselves morally, modestly, and they don't engage in any kind of illicit sexual behavior. So the pasuk describes elav elam. I'm sorry, mechot vos tavnis hechal. And Akash Baruch Hu says that the young Jewish men, young Jewish women who conduct themselves in this manner, it's as if they built the Heichal in their days. Okay. I'll pause here for just a moment as we are about to engage in and enter into Hosea for the remainder of today's daf. So we are going to be darshing the psukim in Hosea, first two parakim. Okay, should have assigned for homework yesterday, right? Know the first two parakim in Hosea. Hosea, it's part of Trei Asar, right? In English, it gives a funny translation. In English, Trei Asar being the minor prophets. As we'll see in just a moment, Hosea is not minor. The Gemara is going to say so in just a moment. All right, minor over here just simply means that they are shorter books of Tanakh, right? Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, so they're longer. Trei Asar, each one of them is short. Yoel, don't quiz me on every one of the Trei Asar. I'm not gonna do well. But Yoel, for example, is four prakim. Okay, which one? Chavakuk, which one is only one parak? Anyway, so they're all short in terms of the quantity. But nevertheless, in terms of the actual nevuah of these Nevi'im, so they're profound. And the Gemara now is going to go over the first two prakim of Hosea, obviously not pasuk by pasuk, but the Gemara obviously is going to pick out some points. So Dibar Hashem Hashaya El Hosea. So Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Hosea Bimei Uziam Uziyahu Yosam Achazi Cheskal Melch Yehuda Beperek. I'm sorry, Melch Yehuda. So first we are describing that Hosea was a navi during four kings. The kings of Uziyahu, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiah, we also known by Chizkiyahu. So those are the four kings of Malchei Yehuda. Now they were towards the end of Bayis Rishon, right? You get to Chizkiyahu, so you're really now approaching the end. That is already by Chizkiyahu, you're talking about Sancheriv Melech Asher coming and descending, knocking out the 10 northern tribes, right? Threatening Yehuda during that period in time. So we're still short from historically from the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, but we're now closer to the end of the first Beis Hamikdash. And now there were Nevi'im during that time, notably Hosea, right in the beginning of Sefer Hosea. So historically, it gives us a landmark that Hosea was an Avi during these four kings. Later, the Gemara is going to point out that Hosea was able to outlast four kings. But anyway, we'll get to that later. So Beperek Echad Nisnavu Dal Nevi'im. So during this period of time, during these four kings. So, and you look at the Pesukim, Rashi says, you look at the Pesukim by all four of these Nevi'im that we are about to enumerate, and you're gonna see that that all four of these kings are mentioned during these four Nevi'im. So, Niznav Vudal Nevi'im, Vigal Shepakulam Hosea. Now, the greatest of the Nevi'im are Hosea. Shenemar, Tchilas Dibar Hashem, Hosea. Hashem spoke first to Hosea. And the Gemara's understanding is that's not just talking about chronologically, but that's talking about in terms of his significance. What do you mean? You had a lot of Nevi'im from Moshe until Hosea. So Amrav Yochanan, Tchila la Arba Nevi'im, Shin Isnav Boso Perek. Tchila over here means that he was on the top of the list during his period in time. There were four Nevi'im during his period in time, and he was the most prominent. Now, Ve'elohein, now who were the Nevi'im during this period of time? So Hosea, Yishayahu, Amos, and Micha. So we have these four Nevi'im all giving Nevuah during the times of these four kings. And Hosea was top on the list. So Amalo Kadosh Baruch Hu Hosea Banecha Chatu, V'Hayo Lomar Banecha Heim Bnei Chanunecha Heim Bnei Avraham Yisrael Yaakov Gilgal Rechamecha Aleihem. So a conversation struck between Hosea and Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Hosea, "Okay, your sons have sinned. Now what you should have responded? This is what Hashem says to Hosea. This should have been your response, which is, what do you mean, my sons? They're your sons, Kadosh Baruch Hu." They're the sons of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. You should have compassion for them. Lo da'i shalo amar kach. And Hashem says to Hosea, it's bad enough that you didn't respond that way. Ela amar lefan of Ribbono Shalom, kol olam shochahi. So, your actual response was, you know, the whole world belongs to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hevi rambu ma'acheres. So what? The Jewish people are non-compliant? So just simply swap them out. Get another nation. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'esel ha'zakein zeh. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, wow, what am I going to do with the Zakein? Now, it's interesting that the Gemara just put him number one in terms of the Nevi'im at his time, and then the Gemara is going to be very critical about Hosea. Okay, but I don't think it's Akasha. I think it's just a simple observation. That's just simply how life works, meaning that you're on a certain Madrega, you're on a certain level, and on that Madrega, so you're also still going to be, you're going to err, and the Gemara is noting now, the error of Hosea's ways. And now what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do is he wants to teach Hosea. Like, let's see if we could try to explain to Hosea how it is, or Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing this, right? How can I explain to Hosea that it's not, I'm not going to just simply swap out Am Yisrael for another nation. So, Omer lo, lech v'kach isha zona. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a woman who's a prostitute, v'holi lecha, banim zununim, and have children with her. Banim zununim, in other words, Gemara is going to say this later on, you don't even know if they're your children, meaning by the nature of her occupation, so it's very probable she was with other men, and you don't even know if they're your children. And then after you have a relationship with her, after you're married to her, and after you have children with her, so you'll send her away. And if you're able to send your wife away, so then I'll send away the Jewish people. So here we go now. Now we're going into the Psukim and Hosea. So now what the Gemara just gave us is the backdrop, the context in terms of the dialogue that took place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hosea. And now we can see some of the Psukim inside. Now we're going to have a much better understanding, right? Without the Gemara over here, and you're just reading the Psukim and Hosea. So it's really strange, all right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Hosea, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take an Isha Zona. So that's really strange. I'll just mention briefly, the Rambam, often in the time in Chumash, understands things to be not everything, but certain events in Tanakh to be allegorical, not to be taken literally. So this is one of those occasions. The Rambam writes the Mor Nevuchim, where this is not to be understood literally, it's supposed to be understood allegorically. Right? Libi Omerli, I'm right, if I'm going to guess correctly, right, most Rishonim are not taking that approach, and the Navi over here is to be understood literally. Okay. Anyway, so that was the instructions that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Hosea. So you're going to marry a prostitute. You're going to have children with her. So he takes a woman, and her name is Gomer Bas Divlayim, and that's a strange name. And you know the Gemara Darshan's name. So Gomer, Amrav Shakol Gomer Ba. So the Gemara is going to give a couple of interpretations of Gomer. Number one, Hakol Gomer Ra. That's a euphemism. It means that many men were with her. Bas Divlayim, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis, Dibara Bas Dibara. Not only was she a woman of ill repute, but her mother also was a woman of ill repute. It ran in the family. Ushmul Amar Shematuka Bifi Akol Kedvela. Another interpretation of Divlayim, Shmuel says she was sweet like a dvela, like figs. Rav Yochan Amar Shakol Dashim Ba Kedvela. Rav Yochan gives another interpretation that everyone is with her like a dvela, right, pushing her down. Again, a euphemism for other men being with her. Davar Achir, the Gemara gives another pshat. Gomer, Amr Rav Yehuda. Right, these are Amorim, so it's probably Rav Yehuda. Amr Rav Yehuda, Shebikshu Ligmor Memona Shal Yisrael B'Yameha. The Jewish finances were almost depleted during that period in time. Rav Yochan Amr, Bazazu V'Gamru. Rav Yochanan says it wasn't just that they were looking at financial crisis, they experienced financial crisis. Kishin Amar, Pasuk and Malachim, Ki Ivdam Melech Aram V'Yasimim Ka'afar Ladush. So not only was there immoral behavior by the Jewish people, but there was financial crisis as well. Okay, now back to the Pasuk in Hosea. We're in the first parak of Hosea. V'tar V'telei Lo Ben, V'yomar Hashem Elav, Karashmo Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Hosea how to name each one of the children. So the first one that comes out is a son, and he says that his name is going to be Yisrael. Ki od ma'aruf agarati es demei Yisrael. Al beis Yehu v'ishbati ma'am l'chos beis Yisrael. Okay, and it's a nevuah. And it means that I'm going to, one day in the future, I'm going to remember demei Yisrael. Meaning to say that the Jewish people are going to be spread out, kind of like sown throughout the nations of the world. V'taro v'tele bas v'yomer la karashma lo ruchama. Ki lo osif od arachem es beis Yisrael. Ki naso esa lahem. So the second one that comes out is the daughter, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions is to name her lo ruchama, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer going to have rachmanis for the Jewish people. V'tar v'tele ben v'yomer karashmo lo ami, ki atem lo ami. V'anochi lo ayalachem la'acher, I'm sorry, lo ayalachem. The third one that comes out is the son. Kadosh Baruch Hu's instruction is to name him lo ami because they are no longer my nation. La'acher shenoda lo shnei banim abasa achas. So now, he has three children, two sons, one daughter with this woman. Amalo Kadosh Baruch Hu lo Hosea lo hayalacha lo mami Moshe rabcha. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Hosea, now remember Moshe, after he had Nevuah, so what did he do? Shekev shidibarti mo, pirshmana isha. So he separated from his wife. Af atam badol atzmacha mimena. So you have to do the same thing. You have to separate from your wife. Amar Ribono Shel Olam yesh li banim mimena ve'ein ani yachol lahotzia v'lo legarsha. So he says, what are you talking about? We have children together. I can't send her out of the house. I can't divorce her. Amar lei Kadosh Baruch Hu umata shiisha chazona. So Kadosh Baruch Hu now makes a kavachomer to Hosea, and he says, look, your wife is a zona. Uvanecha b'nei zinunim ve'ina tayodeim shelcha hein im shel acherin hein. You don't even know if these children are yours. They could be yours. They could not be yours. That's just the nature of your wife. And kach Yisrael shehin banai b'nei bechunai, and these are my children. The children of my chosen one, b'nei Avram Yisrael v'Yaakov. Echad me arba kenyanim shekenis ba'olami, and I had an acquisition with the Jewish people. So kenyanim, Rashi says over here, second line in Rashi, kenyanim, anything that you make a kenyan over, that means that's considered chashuv. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a kenyan over an item, it means that the item is important, significant. And four things get this legal status of being a kenyan of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, and they are Torah kenyan, echad. So the first kenyan Akash Baruch Hu has is the Torah. Pasuk says Hashem kenani reishis darko. Pasuk and Mishlei describing that Akash Baruch Hu has his first kenyan being Torah. Shemayim v'aretz, the second kenyan is Shemayim v'aretz. Kenyan echad dichsiv kone Shemayim v'aretz. The third kenyan based on Mikdash kenyan echad dichsiv harzeh kanasa yamino. And the fourth kenyan is the Jewish people, Yisrael. Kenyan echad dichsiv amzu kanisa. Now, so we're one of Akash Baruch Hu's four kenyanim. And now, remember what you suggested to me? You wanted me to swap them out for other nations? Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him by example, life lesson. It's not that easy. To just simply swap them out with others, even if their behavior is not the best. Kevin Shiyadu Shechat, Amad Levakesh Rachamim Al Atzmo. Hosea realized he made a terrible mistake. He was wrong. And he asked for rachmanis on himself. Don't worry about yourself. Don't ask for rachmanis for yourself. Ask for rachmanis on the Jewish people. So I made three gezeras on them as a result of you. Remember, each one of the children that were named basically is tantamount to a gezera that is going to apply to the Jewish people. So he asked Rachmanis for the Jewish people. The gzera was mivutal. Kadosh Baruch Hu annulled the gzeras. And now a bracha that's given. Shenemar. And now we're now going to go to the second parak of Hosea. And here we're going to go over the brachas. And each one of those brachas is to counter the gzera that was suspended over the heads of the Jewish people. Vayam ispar b'nei Yisrael kechol hayam. So the Jewish people are going to be numerous, like the sand. And as far as the gzera of Lo Ami, so no, we're going to become the nation, the Jewish, we're going to be Hashem's nation. And I'm going to plant you in this land. And I'm going to have Rachmanus and to the nation that I said was not going to be in my nation is in fact going to be in my nation. Good, Adkan. So we're going to come back a little bit to the Pesukim in Hosea, but that was basically the Gemara Darshaning selections of Pesukim in the first and second parak of Hosea. How did we get here? Right? How did we get to the Pesukim in Hosea? Because in the second parak in Hosea, so it said, we saw this on the Amud Aleph, Vayaba Yamahuna Mashem Tikri Yeshiva Lo Tikri Li Od Ba'ali. So we talked about the nature of the relationship between husband and wife, where it goes from a good relationship to a great relationship, right? Where the wife is really feels comfortable now with her husband, her husband's family. She really feels connected. And the reason why we discussed that is because our Mishnah over here, the first Mishnah, in the eighth parak of Pesachim, details a wife who had her father shechting Karban Pesach, her husband shechting Karban Pesach for her. So whose Karban Pesach does she turn to? So after the first Yontov, she turns to her husband's Karban Pesach. And the Brisa didn't describe it that way. The Brisa described it where she's kind of torn between her husband and her father. As has been the theme of today's daf, yeah, sometimes a wife feels extraordinarily comfortable with her husband, and sometimes not so comfortable. And that's how we got to the Pasuk in Hosea. And once we got to the Pasuk in Hosea, the Gemara launched us into an extraordinarily long tangent regarding darshaning the first two prakim of Hosea. We continue. We are on Pei Zayin Amud Beis. We are halfway down on the Amud, and I'm Rabbi Yochanan. It is, it's right at the midpoint. It's the second word in the line. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Oili l'rabbanu shemekavera says ba'aleha. You know, when people are in positions of authority, so what happens is that you die early. She'en l'chal kol navi v'navi shlo kipech arba malachim b'yamav. So you have these Nevi'im, and they buried four kings. So that means to say that the kings obviously took on a position of authority, of rulership. And what it does is that it curtails your life. The rational explanation is it has to do with the stress, right? You've seen the before and after pictures of any president, and it's an aging process. So over here, the Gemara says that it cuts your life short. The Gemara elsewhere, forgive me, I don't remember where, but the Gemara elsewhere describes that by Yosef, right? Yosef dies at 110, earlier than the other brothers, and it's because he had positions of leadership and authority. Okay, so Shenamar, the Gemara over here uses our Pesukim and Hosea to make this point. And not just Pesukim and Hosea, but Yeshayahu as well. Shenamar, we're looking at the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz, Asher Chazal Yehudav Yisholayim. Now, Vigomer. Now, that Vigomer over here is important, right? That's the description of Yeshayahu serving as a Navi during four kings. And again, the idea that Hosea, Yeshayahu, right? And remember the two others who were also Nevi'im during this time? So I had to turn back the page. I didn't remember. But anyway, Amos and Micha. So we have Hosea, Yeshayahu, Amos and Micha. So all four of these Nevi'im that are serving this time. But the point the Gemara is making, that Rav Yochanan's making, is that basically when you are in a leader position, when you're in a position of leadership, so it really cuts your life, your longevity down. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, another comment by Rabbi Yochanan. Mibnei Mazacha Yeravam ben Yoash, Melech Yisrael Limanos Imacha Yehuda. So Yeravam ben Yoash, not to be confused with Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king of Macha Yisrael. So this is Yeravam the second. I don't know if anyone called him that. I know I just did. But anyway, a later one of the kings of Malchi Yisrael, Yeravam, so he was counted with the Malchi Yehuda. And so he must have done something right. In other words, generally speaking, the Malchi Yisrael are not spoken about in positive terms. And Yeravam ben Yoash, so here he's spoken about, he's referenced together with Malchi Yehuda. He must have done something good. And the Gemara now details what he did. So what did he do good? So Mibnei Shalo Kiba Lashon Hara Al Amos. So he didn't accept Lashon Hara on Amos. Somebody spoke Lashon Hara on Amos, and he says, I don't accept it. Minalan de Imne. So first of all, the Psukim that tell us that he was referenced together with Malchei Yehuda Dechsiv, the Pasuk says, Dibir Hashem, Asher Aya El Hoshea Ben Beri Bimei Uziyahu Yosam Achaz Yechizkiyahu Melch Yehuda Uvimei Yeravam Ben Yoash Melch Yisrael. Good. So you open up Sefer Hosea in that very first parak. So it mentions the four kings of Yehuda, which we already went over. And on top of that, just read on the Psukim. And it says, and he lived during the time of Yeravam ben Yoash. And so, right, obviously the Navi over here is not to give us historical points. Obviously the Navi over here is to tell us that he had a zechus in terms of why he was mentioned together with Malki Yehuda. So good. So now we know that he was referenced. Now, how do I know that he didn't accept Lashon Hara regarding Amos? So here we turn to Sefer Amos, and the pasuk says, "Vayishlach Amatzia Kohen Beis El Yeravam Melch Yisrael Lemor Kesher Alecha." So someone whispered to the king. In this case, the king being Yeravam, someone whispered to the king that there's a conspiracy that's starting, and who's a conspirator? So. And so Amos is being referenced as one of the conspirators. Uksiv ki ko amar Amos becherav Yamos Yeravam. And it said that Amos said that Yeravam's going to die. He's going to die by the sword. Amar. So when Yeravam heard this, so he said Chas v'shalom. Amar oso tzadikach. So Yeravam says never happened. Amos never said that. V'im amar ma'aselo. Shechina amra lo. And even if he did say it, he's a Navi. He's just repeating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to say. It's a Nevuah. And I'm not gonna fault Amos. So number one, I don't think Amos said it. And even if he did say it, he's saying it, I'll be Nevuah. Okay. So, and the Zchus of Yeravam, having not accepted the Lashon Hara, so he gets to be referenced with Malchi Yehuda. Amar Revelaz Zafil B'Shas Kasosho HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zocher Zerachamim. The Gemara goes back to the Pesukim in Hosea, And the Gemara now talks about the Rachmanos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there Yud Gimel Midos of Rachman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Gemara now uses an example over here in the Pesukim that describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachman. So the Shenem of the Pasuk says, Ki lo osif od arachem is beis Yisrael. I'm not going to have compassion anymore. Now, how does that show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rachman? Because even as he's saying, I'm not going to be a Rachman, he uses the words Rachman. Right? Generally speaking, you know, when people are saying something, so you got to just listen to the words that they're saying. Meaning, aside from what they're saying, but just, in other words, look at the subtext. Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to have Rachmanis, which means, He's still going to have Rachmanis. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Me'acha, Kinaso Esa Lahem. Right, as part also of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, I'm not going to bear their sins anymore. And now again, you hear what he's saying, but you listen even more carefully. Right, you understand it now almost like a rhetorical question. Right, I'm not going to bear their sins anymore. Yeah, I'm going to bear their sins. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about Rachman. The Amar Rav Elazar, good. This is a good place to pause. We're going to continue in the daf, but let's put a bookmark over here. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of our darshaning of the psukim in Hosea. But as long as we're on topic, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into galus. Now, obviously, while dealing with the Nevi'im of Hosea, Yeshayahu, so we know what galus means. Galus means we're talking about the first galus that sent us into Bavel. And the Gemara now is going to be spending a good amount of time, the remainder of today's daf, a little bit into tomorrow's daf, talking about why HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically sent us to Bavel as galus. V'amar Rav Elazar lo higla HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael lebein ha'umos ela kidei shitosu aleim gerim. So first of all, a really interesting comment of the Gemara in terms of what is the purpose of galus. So the Gemara over here cites the position of Rav Elazar, and that is that the purpose of galus is so that there will be gerim. Now, we are not a proselytizing nation, and we are not inviting others to join us and to become part and parcel of the Jewish people. However, by virtue of the fact that we are living now amongst the nations of the world, and they see us, and they're impressed with us, and they want to join us, and they want to become part of our mission, so Rebbe Lazar says, that's why we're sent out through all the throughout the nations of the world, and that's part of the purpose of Galus. Shenemar, and for this now, we're going to start a pasuk in Hosea that we've been focusing on for a good part of our morning. Vizerasel li ba'aretz, right? I'm going to plant you as seeds throughout the nations of the world. Klum Adam Yodea. I'm sorry. Klum Adam Zorea Sa'a El Lahachnis Kamakurin. Now the reason why that you plant is because you want yield. In other words, it's going to grow fruit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu planting us down the world is so that others will join us. Rav Yochanan Amar Me'acha. Rav Yochanan understands the same way, but he has a different source. V'racham tiyas lo ruchama. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Amar Yochanan Mai Dichziv. I'm sorry. That's already a new point. So v'racham tiyas lo ruchama. So and from there his understanding is that those people who are not my nation are going to become part and parcel of my nation. Right? That's how Rashi understands it. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochanan Mai Dichziv. We are now going to be quoting Rav Yochanan and quoting the Rashbi. Right? Often throughout Shas, Rav Yochanan quotes the Rashbi. Probably not as a direct Masorah. That's probably why the Gemara uses the word Mishum. But anyway, he quotes the Rashbi. The Pasuk says, Pasuk in Mishlei, Al Talshein Evan El Adonav Pen Yikalecha Ve'ashamta. So don't speak any lashon hara about an eved to his master, because you're going to get cursed and you're going to be at fault. Uksiv dor aviv kalav esimolo yivarech mishum da. I'm sorry. Dor aviv kalav esimolo yivarech. A generation where he curses the father and he does not bless his mother. Mishum da aviv kalav esimolo yivarech al tashin. Now, what's the connection between these psukim in the 30th parak of Mishlei? So ela afilo dor shaviv kalav esimolo yivarech. So even if the generation is really just not a good group, even if the generation, they curse their father, they don't bless their mother, right? It's interesting, right? For the mother, you wouldn't even for a moment consider cursing. But in other words, but you don't bless her. Okay. So al tashen eved el adonav. But don't say any lashon hara of the eved to his master. Meaning, even if this generation is behaving in a certain manner, and it's a really unpleasant manner, still, you shouldn't be saying Lashon Hara. Minalan, Mehoshea. And all this is learned from Hosea. right? From the entirety of what we learned this morning regarding Hoshea telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just swap them out with another nation. And Hoshea was basically speaking Lashon Hara about the Jewish people, meaning they're not worth it. Don't waste your time with them. So now we see that Hoshea was really took to task for having said that, and lesson learned from all this. I'm Rabbi Oshia, my dichtiv. What does the pasuk say? It's Tzitzkas Pirzon Abisal. So the pasuk in Malachim, Tzitzkas Pirzono. Now the word paruz, right? Again, another Megillah reference, right? Arei Parazim, right? Open cities. So Tzedakah Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Bisrael Shepazran Lebein Haumos. So over here, a drasha on the word Pirzono, where we're going to flip around some of the letters and Pazer, right? The Navi has the word Pirzono, but we're going to read it as Pazer, right? He spread them out. Sorry, the pasuk over here is in Shoftim, in Shiras Devorah. Okay, anyway. Shepazran Lebein Haumos. Vahainu De Amar Lehahu Minal Rebbe Chanina. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread us out amongst the nations? And so the Gemara over here gives us a dialogue that takes place between a heretic and Rabbi Chanina. Anan ma'alinan minaychu, ksiv b'chu. We're much better than you. So it says, Bayu kisheshes chadashim yashav sham. So referencing an incident in Malachim, where basically we wiped out a nation. They were with us for 6 months, and we, meaning the Jewish people, wiped them out. V'ilu anan. So good. So that's what the men said we did to other nations. Now we, in other words, he's speaking on behalf of the Roman nation. V'ilu anan is naichu gaban kamashni. So how long have we hosted you Jewish people? Years, right? We didn't wipe you out. So we're just better than you. We're more gracious than you. V'lo ka'avdin l'chumidi, we haven't done anything to you. So amar lo ratzon cheita b'lecha tamid echad. So Rabbi Chanina says, look, I'm not even going to answer you. I'm going to send one of my students to answer you. So nitapo le Rabbi Oshia. So he sends them Rabbi Oshia. Amar le mishum de lo yaditi hecha tavdun. So Rabbi Oshia now says to the heretic, this Roman heretic, yeah, you know why you haven't wiped us out? Because you don't know how to wipe us out. So tachlin and kulu lesnu gabaychum. So what do you want? So you want genocide? You want to wipe us all out? The problem is that all the Jewish people are not living by the Romans, and so you can't wipe us all out. We don't live by you. We're spread out. So my deika gabaychum karilachum machusa ketia. And then what are you going to do? So you're going to wipe out the Jews that do live in the Roman Empire. So then you're going to be branded a murderous nation. Meaning you didn't get to accomplish genocide, and on top of that, you're going to lose your reputation. So that's why you didn't wipe us out. It's just that simply, it is not in your political interest to wipe us out. So Amale Gapa de Romai. So when the heretic hears this, he swears by the Gapa de Romai. Gapa probably over here reference to the eagle, right? The symbol of the Roman Empire. So right, he's making a shvua. Bahanachtino v'hasal kinan. It's like you're there in the conversation that takes place behind closed doors. That's exactly what we've been discussing and dialoguing, and you're 100% right. And the men was, of course, proven that his original argument was obviously nonsense and not true. Tini Rabbi Chia, we'll do a little bit more for this morning. Tini Rabbi Chia, my dichtiv, the pasuk says Elokim evin darka v'hu yada es mekoma. So the pasuk in Eov, and now the Gemara darshins Yodea Kadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael she'enem yichol mekabel. Gizeros Achzarios Edom. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we're not going to be able to handle the harsh decrees of Edom. And Lefich Achiglo Osam LeBavel. And that's why he sent us to Bavel. So here now we're on the theme of why do we go to Galus Bavel? And specifically why Bavel as opposed to any other nation? And so the Gemara's explanation over here is because Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that we couldn't handle Edom at the time. Now, of course, historically at a later point in time, we did go to Edom. But at least at that point in time, that period in history, meaning after Chorban Bayis Rishon, so specifically Bavel, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that we can handle Bavel. V'amar Rebbe Elazar lo higla HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Yisrael Bavel, ela mimnei she'amuka kisha'ol. Another explanation why specifically Bavel is because it is deep. Now the Gemara could mean that literally, which is true, the Fertile Crescent. The Gemara could also mean it spiritually as well. She'nemar miyad she'ol apadei mimavis agal eim. Pasuk in Hoshea. So I'm going to take you from Sheol, the depths, and from the Mavis Aga Alein. Now, I don't know why, but it's a common theme that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeems us, but only we're at a really low point, right? By Galus Mitzrayim and the Gula of Mitzrayim. So how many times do we hear that we were at the lowest level of Tumah? So for whatever reason, that's how Gula works. Gula only takes us from a point of depth. Rabbi Chanina Amar Mir Meish Shekarv L'Shonam. So another explanation says, I'm sorry, Shekarv L'Shonam L'Shon Torah. Another explanation of why we went to Galus Bavel is because the language over there. They spoke Aramaic very similar to Lashon HaTorah. And it's really interesting. The Gemara in a number of places talks about the relationship between Aramaic and Hebrew and how they're so similar to one another. And look, we took on Aramaic, right? It became part and parcel of who we are, right? The Talmud Bavli, which is the Torah Shabbat Peh that we're learning, is in Aramaic. Even the Talmud Yerushalmi, which Amir Tzashem, after Pesachim, we're going to have the schus of learning Shkalim. So it's the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's written in Hebrew, right? No, it's not written in Hebrew. It's written in Aramaic. So the Rav Yochanan Amar, Mimnesha Shigran Lebeis Iman. And Rav Yochanan gives another explanation of why we went back to Bavel, because we went back to our motherland. Mashal Adam Shekas Alishto. Right? A husband's really upset with his wife. Le'echem Mishageres Lebeis Iman. So where is he going to send her? He's going to send her back to her mother's house. So what we did is that we got sent back to our motherland. I mean, we came from Bavel. Avram came from Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim is Bavel. So we returned back to our roots. And that's another explanation in terms of why we went to Bavel. And we'll stop over here. And tomorrow we're going to pick it up right at this point. Hainu de Rabbi Alexandria. We're going to talk about things returning back to its roots. Okay. So anyway, let's recap. Let's review our daf today. Okay. We were in halacha for just the Mishnah and a little bit of the Gemara, but that's it. The rest of it was all, I gotta tell, we were darshaning, today. We started off with what happens when a person who has, two people shechting Karban Pesach for her or for that person. So where do they turn to consume for Karban Pesach? So if it's a wife, And her husband and her father shechting Karban Pesach for her. So the Mishnah says it depends. If it's the first Yontif, so then she'll choose between her husband's Karban Pesach or her father's Karban Pesach. But after the first Yontif, so then it's going to be her husband's Karban Pesach. The Mishnah also describes an orphan who has two apotropsim. The Mishnah describes an eved who has two owners. And the Mishnah also describes a chazi eved, chazi ben chorin. And what do they do for the Karban Pesach? As far as the Gemara's discussions are concerned, a really short discussion about Breira, but just basically it sidesteps Breira, meaning our Mishnah is not getting involved in Breira because the woman was asked not after the Shechita, but at the time of Shechita. Then the Gemara pointed out that the Breisa says that for the first Yontif, she's for sure going to eat her father's Karban Pesach, and for subsequent Yontifs, she's going to be able to choose. That's not like our Mishnah, but the Gemara says, yeah. Our Mishnah is talking about where she's quite happy and content with her new husband and her in-laws. And the Bryce is describing where she's not as comfortable with her new husband and her new in-laws. And that's why the Bryce is describing where she gets to choose. Okay, the Gemara talks about relationships and having a good relationship, having a great relationship. And from there, we turn to the Psukim in Hosea, where the Gemara spent most of its time today describing the first two Prakim in Hosea, where Hosea was given instruction to marry a prostitute and to have children with her. And we were given today, in today's daf, the backdrop to that story, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Hosea, your Jewish people have sinned. And Hosea, instead of saying, okay, they're not just my children, they're your children. That's what he should have said. But rather what he said is, okay, so swap them out. What's the big deal? Replace them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's not that simple. They're not replaceable. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Hosea how difficult it is to just simply swap them out. And that's why Hosea married the Gomer Bast of Lyme and had the three children. And we went through today's daf extensively. The psukim in the first and second prakim of Hosea detailing this relationship, this unique relationship that Hosea had regarding the Zona and the children. And now coming to an understanding that it's just not easy. It's not that easy to replace. And not only does Hosea daven, but he gives brachas to the Jewish people. And that's the first two prakim. And then the next part of today's daf is a description of why we were sent into Galus Bavel. After Churban Bayis Rishon, we were sent specifically to Bavel. Why? So the Gemara gives us a number of explanations of why that is. We'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up towards the bottom of the Amud.